I'm gonna hand you this red piece of paper, and I need you to convince me that it's not a red piece of paper.
Not a red piece of paper. Well, what makes you think this piece of paper is red?
I thought you said red. I'm sorry. Do you have the red piece of paper with you?
So this piece of paper looks like a really pretty shade of pink to me.
Well, I've heard a lot of descriptions of this color. I've never heard red. This, I mean, that's what you have to tell yourself to sleep at night. That's fine. But this is clearly not red.
Well, this is obviously not red because, as you can see, we've got red here right in front of us on this microphone. This is not red. This is definitely green. Complementary colors, complete opposites here. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It's pretty flower, pink, pink paper. It's pink!
Lot of liars here at Friendship. So we, we're in this series entitled Someone's Always Listening and talking about how we often use or misuse our mouths and the things that we say and how it ends up costing us so much. And we don't really take a lot of time to focus on our words and our conversation. We tend to really spend a lot of time, right, on what we do or what we don't do, the activities that we participate in, the places that we go. But sometimes we allow the conversations and the things that we say or don't say to kind of just go unattended, untaken care of. Especially in our world of blogs and all these different things that happen, it's really easy to get on the computer and type angrily and just kind of leave it, let it out there. And we don't ever think about the devastation that can take place with our words. And we talked about last week in James the fact that, man, this tongue that we have is incredibly untamable. And without the power of God flowing into our lives as we act out the truths of God that are found in the Word of God, can we actually overcome the power of this tongue, this thing that God gave us to use to bless and not curse? So today, we're going to talk about lying. And I know a lot of you are like, oh, good, because I don't lie. More than likely, you're going to find out this morning that in actuality, you probably do. And we probably do it a whole lot more than we actually think we do. Because there's all sorts of levels of lying. There's all sorts of things that we say or don't say that maybe we can add something in or take something out or whatever the case may be. That's actually a lie. It's a not telling of truth. And God takes lying very, very seriously. In fact, we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. It says this: the Lord detests lying lips. Now that word detests means to hate, to abhor, to loathe intensely. This is something that God hates. Lying is not just something that God's like, you know what? You really, come on now, guys, just cut it out. No, he's like, I hate it. With every ounce of my being, I detest it. I hate things that lie. I hate those lips that lie, that don't tell the truth. I hate it. And then he goes on to say, but, he delights. He takes pleasure, he celebrates in, he revels in those who tell the truth. You see, God has just given us a clear point of demarcation, a clear black and white reality. God says, if you want to be someone with whom I delight, someone who I take pleasure in, someone who I revel in them, tell the truth. Speak the truth. It's kind of like that, you know, when you go into a courtroom and they're like, hey, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Have you ever thought about that? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, in other words, not leaving anything out, and nothing but the truth, not putting anything in? Now that's really, if you go, man, that's how I'm going to live my life, that's probably not a bad way to live your life. Because the Bible says if you speak the truth, God delights in you. However, he says, however, if you have lips or a tongue that tells lies, I detest it. I hate it beyond anything you can even begin to imagine. So What's a lie? Well, I wrote some things down as I was thinking through it. And some things, and there's probably more than this, but this is what I came up with. There's first of all, the lie of omission, right? The lie of omission. It's not on your notes. This is extra free stuff, okay? So you can tweet this and you'll be fine. Okay, so, but the lie of omission, where you don't give all the story. I'm sure, you know, if you remember back when you were a kid, you probably did this a lot. You know, you let the dog into the house, you fed the dog food, you gave the dog water, the dog peed and pooped all over the house, and your parents came home and you're like, you know, the dog got in and something happened. And you left out all this other stuff. That's the lie of omission. You don't give all the information. Then there's the lie of exaggeration. The lie of exaggeration, or the fisherman's lie, right? You catch a fish like this, and by the time you get home, it was this big. It was quite the fish. I noticed. Or you lie, or you exaggerate about your abilities. You exaggerate about how long or how quickly it's going to take you to get ready and be out the door. That's a lie. Do you know that? It'll take me 10 minutes, and 20 minutes later you show up. It's not cute. It's a lie, because you've exaggerated your abilities. You've exaggerated how long it's going to take you to do that, all right? There's the lie of fabrication, where you make up something just out of the blue. You just make it up. Now, there's a whole bunch of reasons why we do that, but there's no reason good enough to lie, the lie of fabrication. You just make something up out of thin air. You create some excuse. You lie. It may be an exaggerated lie. It may be, you know, you don't tell the whole truth. You just fabricate the whole thing. You make it out of scratch, and you're like, there you go. And there is nothing to it. It's also called a bold-faced lie, where it's like, you know it's not true, and more than likely the person that you're telling knows it's not true, but neither one of you want to own up to it. It's just a lie of fabrication. You just lie it all the way. There's the lie of broken promises, where you make a promise to someone and you say, I will do this, and then you don't follow through. That's a lie. You've told them a lie. You said, I will do X, and then you don't do it. That's the lie of broken promises. And then the last one that I came up with, and you may have a whole bunch more, is the lie of convenience, or what we would typically call the white lie. We tell a small lie because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. But in reality, the reason that we tell that lie is because we don't want to deal with the aftermath of them finding out the truth. So we tell a white lie. And maybe sometimes we tell these lies to others, those that are close to us, our bosses. There's an often thing that we do, though, that we really don't ever talk about, and that's when we lie to ourselves. We lie all of these lies to ourselves. We don't tell ourselves the whole truth. We exaggerate to ourselves what we can do or can't do. We make things up out of thin air. We break promises to ourselves. I'm going to lose X amount of weight in the next 3 months. Then you buy a pint of Ben and Jerry's fish food, which is fantastic. We have all these things that we do to ourselves, and we lie to others, and we lie to ourselves. And it really puts us in all sorts of problems. Psalm 101:7 says, No one who practices deceit or lying will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. This is God speaking. And he says, listen, if you practice deceit, if you do this on a regular basis, if you continually speak false about those around you, don't expect to enjoy my company. Don't expect when you pray for those prayers to be heard. Don't expect when you open up the Word of God to be blessed with all the truths of the Word of God, but rather expect to be confronted with the truth of the fact that you seem to not be able to tell the truth on a regular basis. Because the reality is that these things cause a fraction or cause a fissure in my relationship with you. You say, man, God's kind of intense about things like this. And here's why. The more I lie, the less I look like Christ. The more I lie, the less I look like Christ. You see, the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross was not just to forgive your sins. He forgave your sins, but then he also blessed you with who he was, all of his righteousness. Your unrighteousness was removed and his righteousness was placed within you. And so like the Apostle Paul says, he says, listen, now that you have been saved, you are to live a life worthy of your calling. You're to live a life like Christ. You are to be imitators of God, therefore. You are to do and become like Christ. And so God says, listen, when you lie, you look less and less like my son. And the whole point of salvation is so that you will become more and more like Christ. And when you lie, you are becoming less and less like Christ. And so I hate this lying thing because it is destroying your ability to become a passionate disciple of Jesus Christ. It is undermining everything that I made you and created you to be. Colossians 3:10, the Apostle Paul says this, don't lie to each other. And he says, why? For you have stripped off your old sinful self and all of its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed so that you can learn to know your Creator and become like him. Paul says, this lying thing is literally standing in the way of you becoming more like Christ. So the question is if you're not becoming more like Christ, who are you becoming more like? If you're not looking more like Christ when you lie, who are you becoming to look more like? Well, the Bible answers this. In fact, Jesus Christ himself answers it. When he confronts a group of people, in John 8:44, and he says this, you belong to your father, the devil. He says, you know who he's calling this to? He's calling the religious people. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. And then he goes on. He says, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And then I love this. Here is kind of the power statement. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, when you lie, you become less like Christ and you become more like Satan, more like the devil, because he is the father of lies. In fact, if we go back, if we travel all the way back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the creation of the world and the beauty of everything that is, right? And the Bible says that the serpent, Satan overtook the serpent, and the serpent came to Eve, and he began to have a conversation with Eve, and he tricked Eve with a lie. And what's interesting is every temptation that you and I have been confronted with in our entire lives, some lie has been embedded within that temptation. This will make you feel better if you do it. If you do this, you will get ahead. If you are willing to compromise your principles just a little bit, you can make up for it later. You see, everything and every area that we struggle with in our life, from an area of temptation and sin, embedded within that, in the very DNA of that sin, is a lie. And that's why John says, listen, he's the father of lies. He's the one that does it. And when you pursue that, you become more like him instead of more like Christ. When you believe the lie, you're not good enough. When you believe the lie that you're not really called by God, that God really doesn't care about you, because that is literally the lie that Satan told Eve. God doesn't love you enough to trust you with the whole truth. That's the lie that he told Eve. And Eve bought it hook, line, and sinker. And Adam standing there silently allowed her to be deceived by the lie. Now, Proverbs 25:18. Although it's true that we lie to ourselves, sometimes we think when we lie to others, we're maybe doing it for their own good. Sometimes we think that by lying to them, really the only person that's going to end up being hurt is us if that lie is found out. But the truth is this. Look at this. Proverbs 25:18. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. You see, lies are a powerful thing that can destroy another person in an instant. When you tell a lie, you have to then start living that lie. You have to start doing things that line up with that lie. And then in order to live the lie, you have to remember all the lies that you've told. And then you have to remember which lies you told to which people. That sounds exhausting. Have you ever met someone that tries to live that way? Now, no pointing or elbowing or anything like that. But have you met someone that, like, they got caught in the biggest lie and they're like, okay, what did I tell you? Because I can't remember. You don't have to remember what you tell people when you tell the truth. Remembering the lies becomes an unbearably heavy burden, but that's not the only problem that lying causes. Lying extracts a tremendous toll on you and your life, a tremendous cost on your character. People will lose confidence in you. They'll stop believing in you, and internally, you will begin to hate yourself because you can't fathom why you simply can't tell the truth and be done with it. The person that you hurt the most when you lie is you. It's not that you don't hurt others. We see that very clearly. You hurt others. But if we're being very, very honest and very blunt and kind of down to the core, the reality is the person that you hurt most when you lie is you. And here's how. When I tell a lie, this is what happens. If I tell a lie to myself, I become delusional. What happens to me when I lie to myself? I become delusional. Now, have you ever lied to yourself or lied for so long that you started to believe that the lie was true? Maybe it's something simple like an ability. Maybe it's something really dramatic like a character issue. Maybe it's something in relationship to the relationships of those around you. But when you lie to yourself and you allow yourself to believe the lies that you're telling yourself, you literally become deluded with your own lies. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. He begins saying, stop deceiving yourself. Stop deluding yourself. Stop believing your own hype and your own press. Some of the biggest delusions that we see take place on Sundays between 1 o'clock and 8 o'clock. During the fall, when football players come out, right? And we see it, man. They come out of college and they're just a good old country boy, right? And then they get drafted and then something weird happens. They begin to believe all this stuff and this hype. And then when the football field and the lights come on and the real games happen, you really quickly can tell the difference between those who are self-deluded and those who can actually do it. In life, there's no difference. When the lights really come on, the truth is really seen. And the only person you may be still fooling is you, because you've become deluded. He begins with, stop doing that. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to get a grip. That's essentially what he's saying. You need to become a fool to be truly wise. He says, listen, you keep thinking you've got all the answers. You keep thinking you've got it all figured out, but the reality is you don't. So you've got to be willing to accept the fact that you really don't have all the answers, to become a fool, so that you can accept the truth. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. In other words, the smartest person in the world is like a brain-dead chimpanzee on cocaine to God. I mean, there's just no comparison. There's just no comparison whatsoever. This is the smartest person in the world. There's nothing compared to God. Yet we keep putting all this effort and trust and reliability in something that is nothing compared to the one who has offered everything for us. And yet we reject that and we hold on to this. So stop fooling yourself. As the scriptures say, He traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. You ever been caught in a lie? You ever been caught in a lie? You ever wondered why in the world you can be having a conversation with someone, it can be 40 degrees outside, snow flurries, and the minute that you realize that they're about ready to catch you in a lie, your body temperature spikes to about 195, and you begin to sweat, and you begin to panic, and you begin to stutter and stammer, and you're like, because you realize that what you've just done is set yourself up to destroy your own reputation and who you are, which is what happens when you lie to others. That's the second thing what happens. When you lie to yourself, you become deluded. When you lie to others, when you lie about yourself, excuse me, when I lie about myself, I damage my reputation. So, sometimes you lie to yourself. Sometimes you lie about yourself. This is often where the lie of exaggeration comes in. You kind of pump up your resume a little bit. You finished top 5 in your class instead of top 50 in your class. You are certified in these 7 things, and by certified means you looked at it once and you were on the internet and you know how to spell it. We do this, we lie about ourselves to others. But with every lie, what happens? That lie is eventually found out. And if you lie about yourselves to others, when it comes out, it damages your reputation. Proverbs 12:19 says, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. In another passage, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, it says, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. You see, when you lie about yourself, the reality is at some point in time, it's going to be exposed. It's going to come to light. And when you stand there underneath those bright white lights of the truth, there's nothing that's going to be hidden. And what often happens is the other cracks and the other areas of your character and who you are that you've been trying to hide, they're going to come out too. And then the reputation that you have spent so long trying to cultivate or exaggerate or bloviate or whatever the case may be, it's going to all come crashing down because it's just a house of lies. When I lie to myself, I delude myself. When I lie about myself, I damage my reputation. When I lie to or about others, I destroy myself. I destroy myself. I literally take an axe or a sword or an arrow and I attack myself. Because as I lie to others and I know that the truth will be found out, I am setting myself up for destruction. When I lie about others, I know that it's going to damage them. But what's amazing is that eventually it's going to come back to damage me more than it damages them. And I have literally set myself up to be destroyed by my own words. Proverbs 26:24-28 says, people may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they're deceiving you. It's flattery. Oh, wow. You got a new outfit. That looks so nice. You look so good. That's so wonderful. And you go back and you talk to your spouse and you're like, did you see what they had on? Did you see what they were wearing? Oh, my word. And you have flattered them. You've pumped them up for your own benefit. You've lied to them. Maybe you lie about others. Well, you know why they were wearing that, right? Because I'm pretty sure that... And you lie about others. So when you use these flattering words, let's kind of follow this through. They, They pretend to be kind, but don't believe them. If you come across someone that is a flatterer, recognize that the flatterer is there and the flatterer is saying what they're saying not for your benefit. They're setting you up for something. They're preparing to skewer you or someone else, and you are going to end up being the patsy who takes the fall, because people that flatter aren't doing it just to make you feel good. Their hearts are full of many evils. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be, and here's that word again, exposed in public. If you set a trap for others, you will get caught in it yourself. If you roll a boulder down on others, it will crush you instead. A lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words causes ruin. Wow, man, that is a powerful couple of verses about lying. When you lie to and about others, you are literally setting yourself up to be destroyed. Because that boulder of lies that you are attempting to crush someone else with, God says, I will roll it back on you. That trap that you're setting in the hopes of catching that person that you despise so much and that they will step in and they'll get snapped and caught, what happens is God says, that very trap, I will trap you in. Because that's not your position. That's not what I've called you to be or to do. Because these lies that we tell make us less like Christ. These lies that we tell enslave us to the lie. We are literally creating something that's going to imprison us, that we are now captive to, that we have to live under its weight, that we have to remember and measure every word that we speak so that it lines up with all the lies that we've told, with all the different people that we've told those lies to, and you walk through life almost hunched over because of the weight of the burden that you have placed on yourself simply because you wouldn't tell the truth. John 8, 31 through 32. Jesus is talking about what it takes to be one of his disciples, and he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. It'll set you free. Now, I want to be real clear on this. Telling the truth is rarely comfortable. It's rarely comfortable. Telling the truth isn't something that usually, at least on the front end, wins you praise. Well, why couldn't you just lie to me? Well, because I like you as a friend, and I want you to know the truth, and I don't want you to look like an idiot. So no, you shouldn't wear that hat. Whatever the case may be. Truth rarely is appealing to tell because we don't want to deal with the consequences. But I want you to remember the consequences of telling a lie. The consequences of telling a lie means that you set yourself up to become deluded. You set yourself up for having a reputation that's in tatters. And you set yourself up to eventually be destroyed by the very things that you put out there to destroy others. But if you will hold to the truth, if you will speak the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and the truth will set you free. You don't have to walk through life wondering when the next shoe is going to fall. You don't have to walk through life being worried and trying to remember who you told what to. And oh, by the way, let's go back to the very first verse we read this morning. If you speak the truth, you will enjoy the delight of your God. You will revel in his pleasure and his presence and his joy. And that is worth any discomfort on the front end of telling the truth. If you will speak the truth instead of lies, of exaggeration or omission or whatever the case may be, God will rebuild your character, will build your reputation, and will take joy in the words that you speak. Father God, we thank you so much for willingly teaching us the truth. God, we thank you for not holding back on us. We thank you for always using your word to speak the truth into our lives. God, I pray that we would do that. God, I pray that we would embrace freedom, that we wouldn't constantly be caught up in this web of lies. Even if we don't think they're a big deal, God, help us to remember that those lies cause damage to us and others. God, help us to remember that you delight when we speak the truth. God, even if that truth can be difficult for us to swallow, difficult for us to take right now, God, I pray that we would begin by speaking the truth to ourselves. God, that we would look in the mirror of the truth of your word of God that's been presented this morning, and we would ask the question, God, where am I lying? Where am I lying to myself? God, where do I need to speak the truth? God, will you speak the truth into my heart? Because telling the truth begins with us being willing to tell the truth to ourselves. God, let me hear from you this morning. Tell me what areas I'm believing a lie so I can start to live free and start to speak the truth to others as well. And Father, we thank you so much for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.